This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Detective Jason Howe today. We're talking about Gabby Petito a little bit earlier. We're talking about police reform in terms of getting to a call where there's domestic-related violence going on or evidence of, and erring on the side of making a request or making an arrest, rather, and putting someone into a hold versus walking away. He teaches about this at the police academy, where it's a hot topic right now, because we do look at that Petito situation and go, well, this could have been handled better. Maybe she'd be alive today had that sort of intervention actually took place. But it is something that really does vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And I thank Jason for coming on to talk about this, because it's a conversation that really needs to be had. I feel like so often, and this is just public perception, my perception, is once there is somebody that is pointed out, it usually has to come to some sort of boiling point as to where then the public's aware that the Petito case, that this officer did not do much to stop Brian Laundrie from continuing whatever he was going to be doing, even though there was evidence that there was abuse going on. But once those officers finally do get caught, I know here in the case of Laundrie, we look back on their track record then and go, oh, well, here's this Laundrie list of shit that they've been doing that we did absolutely nothing about. It's like with anything. I mean, whether it's a police officer or whether it's somebody, you know, working a desk job, it's like before someone gets fired, there's usually a laundry list of things that, okay, look, you didn't do this and this, and this is, you're leading up to a disaster. But it seems so many times we get to the disaster phase before removing someone who just seems to be brewing a disaster.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of that's an agency head decision. You know, once you have so many internal affairs investigations that take place, there comes a point in time that you have to have the difficult conversation with employees that maybe this isn't the job for you. And again, same thing with the police reforms. There are early warning systems that are being created to put in place to kind of manage these number of complaints that come in that are substantiated, and it gives an agency administrator a better chance to look at the overall picture of a individual that's working for their department and say, hey, maybe you're not cut out for this. But maybe this isn't the career field for you.
How do, I know I'm asking a lot of general questions, but it's a fascinating conversation. When it comes to, what about agencies where, you know, it is the top? The top is part of the problem. And yes, you have internal affairs and such, and they're supposed to be unbiased. But we see it all too often where it becomes, and I don't want to come across here, I'm not anti-police whatsoever. I have family, but these questions need to be asked, because I think a lot of people are asking them. When you have the people at the top that are part of the problem, that are shielding things over and over because God knows what they have going on, I mean, how do you get into a department like that? How does a department like that find redemption when the top is even saying, No, we don't. We're going to keep doing it this way because, you know, it all worked out great. I mean, and then it's a constant cover up of things, and it's a constant, let's tell each other how good we're doing. One of the most disturbing things I think I saw of that was the Uvalde school shooting, where all these kids are dead. And then within like a couple hours, they're having a press conference that I jokingly called a circle jerk, where they're sitting there, we did great. We did, this is wonderful. It's like, no, you didn't. Nobody went into the damn school. And all these kids are dead. And there's hundreds of you out here. It's almost like a different reality sometimes of the viewpoint of like what one thinks they did versus what, you know, the public to protect and serves ends up seeing or dealing with on the outside. A lot of these reforms are certainly needed, and it's very good to hear that that's going on. Are they being accepted, you know, all over the place? I mean, is this kind of department by department? How do we see these things in action so the public can kind of get back as a whole to having more faith in police and such? Because we're all sick of hearing these horrible stories. And again, it's usually highlighting the bad apples because they're out there amongst many, many good. But things need to be more transparent, it seems. So there are a lot of questions your way. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think if you want to see lasting change, you know, these reforms need to take place at the state and federal level, with our legislature. legislature, you know, passing laws.
Yeah.
Again, there was a lot of inept decision making with Uvalde. Mm-hmm. But there are horror stories out there that surpass even those decisions. There's actually blatant criminal conduct. Going back, thinking about it, you know, there was a federal operation dealing with they called it Operation Tarnished Badge, and you know, you had agency executives that were involved in just blatant criminal conduct, several of which went to prison for. I think the solution, as you asked earlier, you know, what happens when these things go on at the top?
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at federal investigations and you're looking at people going to prison, definitely removing them from a position they don't need to be in. Mm-hmm. So it's important that, you know, there's a framework for these investigations to take place and have an avenue for people to ask questions about why these decisions are being made or what conduct is going on, you know, behind closed doors.
But how does something like that get triggered, though, without there being some sort of tragedy first? Because, I mean, I think a lot of times ones can go, there's a lot of shady things going on in any organization. And unless, you know, shit really hits the fan, it kind of just continues to go on until there is, you know, reason to have a federal investigation, which is a pretty, you know, high, you know, ceiling to get into.
Yeah. I don't think there's a good answer for that, to be honest with you. You know, law enforcement, either from the federal, state, or local level, is always looked at as a reactive type mm-hmm. job. So I think any investigation is going to be reactive to something that's occurred.
Yeah.
As far as getting in and doing proactive work, that's a difficult question to ask because you might not see the inner workings of an organization, whether they're doing what they're supposed to do or whether they're doing things they're not supposed to do until you can actually start digging and there's transparency involved. And, you know, the public has access to determine what's going on. And I don't know that, you know, you can give the public access to everything, mm-hmm. Like our internal files or criminal investigative files. You know, the best you can do is with your reform is have these portals, have these databases that you could research officers, so that kind of prohibits the department jumping, mm-hmm. To see what kind of conduct officers have been involved in. I think there's a list of, you know, whether it's a criminal or administrative or internal investigation that took place. So it's really just trying to establish some transparency, yeah, so that, you know, the public can trust the police again.
Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be 100%. Here's the list of negative things about this person. I mean, I would think in that same way, like accomplishments, things like that. I mean, it could also be a way of boasting and like showing, look, this, you should be happy. Look at our department. Look at what these people have done. Look what they're capable of doing. They are truly good human beings who are here to help and truly protect and serve. It doesn't always have to be, here's the list of things you screwed up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we deal with that on a regular basis. I mean, anybody in law enforcement work, they do a lot of great work. Thinking about the Nashville shooting, seeing the video, yeah, of those guys going in there. And that, to me, they were very heroic. But, you know, within a matter of a few days, the public will forget about that. Uh-huh. And God forbid something terrible happened, because that'll be talked about for the next year and a half. I think, and that's kind of the work police deal with every day.
Sure. I mean, it's a thankless job in many aspects, without a doubt. But you have, I think that when you just try it, it's hard to analyze this thing as a whole, because every community is different and it's, you know, every department's very different. Having more uniform across the board policies and things like that, so people, you know, when they are in one city and they go to another, they can feel that the law enforcement in this city are going to protect and serve me just as good as they would in my own town. I mean, there's obviously so many, you know, things that would require that to work perfectly. But it's like you go to McDonald's in Baton Rouge, you go to McDonald's in Norway, it's going to taste the same. It's McDonald's. That sort of thing with policing, it's like, okay, I can truly depend no matter what, without having so much, especially with smaller departments and such, their own kind of ecosystem that doesn't get affected until something big happens.
Yeah. And that uniformity that you want to seek in law enforcement is going to be difficult to establish. Yeah. because you have states that pass laws and each state has its own laws. And, if you want uniformity, police reform has to take place at the federal level for that uniformity. But it's also hard to implement things when there's not a lot of funding out there, especially with your smaller agencies. We get a lot of unfunded mandates and we have to find ourselves trying to keep up with the amount of training and other things that have to take place every year. And, you know, unfunded mandates are just difficult for governments.
Sure.
It's difficult for law enforcement agencies.
Sure. I mean, one can have the best of intentions on how they want to run a department and keep things going, but then it comes to reality of, well, what are the actual resources to do that?
Absolutely. And resources are always going to be important, especially programs like body cameras. You know, no one in my agency was against body cameras. So we love the idea. It was, how are we going to pay for all of them? How are we going to pay for the storage for all this data that we're obtaining?
Yeah. It's all those things. It's easy on the outside to go, well, why didn't you have this? Why didn't you? Well, just like anything, can I explain to you the inside details of how we love to do this, but it's not feasible at this moment in time? No, I hear you. It's a fascinating debate, Jason. I always love having you on because we can have a good conversation about it. And you can bring to light a lot of things that I think a lot of people don't understand from the inside to the outside for more transparency.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Detective Jason Howe, thank you for being on and sharing that insight with us as to police reform in the area of domestic violence. It's always fascinating. And hopefully we can make some progress there. My name's Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates on the cases that we're following for you right here. Stay with us.